There doesn't have to be a Q&A. I mean, there is Q&A, but if there is no question, that's okay too. But
there's no question, but people can reflect.
Yes. Any clarification? First of all, we'll talk about what was covered, relevant to that, if there is a clarification, a question or something. Then we can open it up to general questioning.
So, I have a, just not a question, it's a, what I read about it was that in the Surah Qalam or Noon, there are 20 ayats, and the first one, this was a revelation in which Allah, you know, chastises people who, you know, commented or tormented Prophet Muhammad. Then the surah, this one about the garden, it's written that this claim came later on. This was a Makkan, I think it's a Makkan or Medina. It's a different period, time period. So I was just wondering, in a, such a short surah, there are two different time periods. Any thoughts on that?
From what I know, the majority of the scholars have said that all of the surah is Makkan, because it is more relevant. First of all, the style of the short surahs that rhyme, but it's more relevant to the people, because these people, by the time we got to Medina, a year later was the Battle of Badr, most of these people had been killed at that point. So it cannot be Medina. So that may be some minority opinion of somebody, but the majority opinion is that all of this surah is Makkan. There may have been, it's not all revealed at one time, but after a gap of period between them. Yes.
I don't know whether it's, I think you mentioned the Masakin. I always have trouble with the, like in, for example, in when you want to give to a beggar, you know, who's asking for money. In our country, in Pakistan, there is a lot of, you know, poverty, there are a lot of beggars in the professional begging. You know, when we were growing up there and we wanted to give money to somebody, you know, some adult would say, don't give it to them there. But it's hard to differentiate. In America, when we go to Northampton or some of these areas, there are these, like, beggars who are, who could be druggies. I mean, they have the sign, I'm homeless and stuff. And, you know, because they are beggars, sometimes we want to give like $2 or $5 or 10, whatever you want to give them. And my question is, I mean, what would you do, or what do you think is the right way to approach them? Because sometimes it seems to me that it maybe if we are, at least if we are in a better position, we should help them.
Yes. So first I will start with, we, our role model is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never said no to anyone. Keep that as your foundation. Now, you could say, well, maybe people like that didn't exist then, who were drinking, but they did exist then. Okay, there were people who got used to asking all the time, and he taught them that this hand is better than this hand, the upper hand is better than lower. Find a job so that you don't become dependent on this. So one way is to, if you know someone, to help them in a way that they, because don't give them just temporary thing. Find them, for example, like teach them a skill. Now, in examples like this, yes, that's a reality today, what you said, that some of the people on the street, maybe druggies, maybe alcoholics, maybe they'll just go and buy cigarette smoke, and they're standing there hungry and homeless. Okay. What I do is I keep some food, you know, snacks in the car, granola bars and things. So if I come to a stop sign, instead of giving money, I'll give them that. Okay. So you have given something. Sometimes you may not have. So then I will give them $1 or $2 or $3. But I will tell them, don't drink it. Of course, God bless you, of course not. But then you are giving with the intention, Ya Allah, I'm only giving them for your pleasure in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he does with it is not, I'm not responsible for that. Okay. So I would say give them something. Don't give them enough that will But if you have something better to, if they say hungry, you should always keep a little from Costco, you know, those snack bar, one or two, you hand them. In India, Pakistan, where there is professional begging. Now, some people use this as an excuse not to give at all. Everybody can be a professional beggar. So who is going to chase these people down and see who's... So you can give a small amount. So you have not said no. You don't have to give a $100 bill to everyone. In India, Pakistan, if you give them 50 rupees, which is like, you know, 59, 70 cents, 80 cents, it's enough. Give them 10 rupees, give them 5 rupees. Give them something. Why? You are fulfilling the sunnah. You did not say no. And the reason you are giving less is because you are not sure. The other thing that I personally use, which I've learned from observing some people, is they look at the condition of the person. So if the person is disabled, if the person is elderly, weak, feeble, as opposed to a young, healthy kid running around who grabs from here, then runs over, they grabs from there, runs, which is, you know, what happens in many places, you give them very little. And I've experienced this in Medina. One kid took us all over the place, and then he wanted a certain amount. We didn't give him. Finally, we entered the restaurant, and he left us saying all kinds of curse words against us. You remember that kid?
Yeah.
So that happens, which is okay.
He sent me a lot of posts now. If he's the first.
No, not the one in the masjid. This was when we were going to Bukhari's, that restaurant.
Oh, okay.
There was a kid who took us, I'll show you the way. And he would yell at the other kids, remember, who were wanting to come, say, no, they are coming with me. You remember that one?
You didn't give him anything?
I gave him. But he wanted something like, you know, 50, I gave him 5 riyal. And he wanted at least 25.
He was thinking American.
Yeah. So anyway.
A quick follow-up, I'm sorry to take the time, but like in right now, this Thanksgiving season, and I think a lot of people here are probably ahead of me, but in giving, you know, recently it has hit home that masakeen should be fed. And, you know, in the past, like, there are shelters here where people can donate and, you know, you can give money. I just wanted to ask what you do to feed the masakeen in this area, because, you know, I didn't, unfortunately...
So, there are, for example, we have a pantry in West Springfield, right on Main Street, which, you know, we have dealt with, who we do the Ramadan walk for.
Mm-hmm.
We do, you know, so... You can use that. If you have a pantry here in East Long Meadow, find out. Go meet the people.
Haritrex, they have a place you can put food.
And you can take canned food. You can go and ask them. You can buy groceries and put there. You can give them cash donation. You can even put in your labor. Okay, I'm going to go in and serve the people. That's even better because it teaches us humility. We are serving people. So if you have that, Alhamdulillah, you're doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the BC so, hospital has certain stations where you can go with the food for the
So, you know, that feeling itself is a good feeling. And when you feed people and needy, there are plenty of needy we have in this country. You know. There are shelters in Springfield, women's shelters, battered women's shelters, homeless shelters. Just buy canned food from, you know, on the cheap grocery stores. Take a case of something, you know, if nothing else, you know, soups, you know, beans, just go and drop them off. This is for you for Thanksgiving. So there are many ways, and when you have the fikr, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help me to make the best decision, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your heart into one of these things, and you do that. And you might find, you might do 3 different things, and then you find that you really liked one. Then next time you do more of that. So these are things we can.
I want to mention here, this is he mentioned like a little part of it, which is of course back to our homeland. People do take advantage of the people who have, you know. So and I've been used a lot of time in this kind of circumstances. So every time somebody takes that advantage and then he or she turns against me by not even talking to me or not even calling me back, I say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, who put me on the other side of the ayah. Say I have and they don't. So this hand is always better, you know. Even though people think they're clever, they rob me, they think that they made up all that story, lies, you know, try to get something from me. But Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, towards the end, because I'm on the other hand, you know. So, yes.
So there is a hadith, I'm trying to remember it about this, it's a long hadith, about a person who wanted to go and give charity in the night, same thing. And one night he went and he gave charity, from what I'll have to review this hadith, he gave it to a thief. He didn't know he was a thief, who was out to rob people at night. So he met him. He said, you know, yes, money for you. Then next day the news went around, money was given to a thief. So next day he went, he found a woman, he gave her money, charity. Next day the news went, prostitute was given this thing. So he went with the niyyah and he did not make the, he didn't know. So you are giving whatever you are doing for Allah. Your job is to try and make the best choice out of it, that's all. And then leave. But don't judge, don't let these thoughts come to you. This is a professional, this is not a professional, this is not. Now, even in Masjid al-Nabawi, you will see people who are challenged in one way. Somebody cannot walk, somebody is blind, who have become well-trained. So the moment they know that before Adhan and Iqama, people do the Sunnah and sit down. Now this person who cannot walk will start crawling across and everybody will. So I just in Ramadan, I said from there to there, you must have collected at least 100 riyal. And then you go by the time, I said this must, I said, must be connecting at least 10,000 riyal a day. Professional. Just walk around. Not asking anybody. Dressed very nice in white, you remember. There are many people like that, and they'll start walking. They won't ask you. They'll just, in between the sufuf, well, why are you going there? You should be sitting waiting for salah. That's their way of. So there is asking by the tongue, aqwal, dusra ahwal, by showing your hal. So that's professional. Similarly, you'll see people, now, frequently we give to people who clean the masajids, you know, in the Pakistani, Indian, Bangladeshi people cleaning the masajid outside. They don't get paid much. They deserve. But sometimes you will see, just spend the time for salah, outside they'll all be standing with their things. You'll see some people who are cleaning. They don't care. And there are some who will just stand there, and then somebody will keep understanding that we are cleaners. So you can give him some. But the one you see who's really working, who's not asking, give him more. So you use your judgment, but don't think even badly about, you know, we notice these things because they're so obvious, because they think that, but if you go there enough, you become professional in judging. But again, that attitude that Allah has given me enough to give. So if I give to 100 people, of which 80 didn't fully deserve it, it's still khair, at least 20 got who deserved. Yes?
I wanted to bring here one waqia from Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He went to city where he saw one person was fighting with the other person, and the other person was his, from his nation, right? We all know that, you know, waqia. So he punched him and killed him. And the next day when he come back, the same person who...
Troublemaker.
Yeah, who was a troublemaker. So here, I need your reflection about it. When you said, don't do the prostitute or the thief, the money, you know, you think about it. You say that, just give it away. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't teach us, if you see, you saw already, the person is corrupted.
He didn't know that. This man didn't know that.
But later he learned, and then he
said, because the news went around next day that the money had been given to so and so. So that's why he went out the next night. And again, Allah is showing that again he, and the third time. So I forget the end conclusion of this hadith. Please look into this and we will, what the end of it was. But, you know, that's somewhat in that sometimes you give, but you may give to the person who is less deserving than somebody who is more deserving. But the whole goal is to give, to share. Because what is yours? You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into his house. And he's hungry. As you know, there's not much food. So he said, Ya Aisha, radiallahu anha. You know, the lamb or something had been sacrificed. What is left of the lamb? She said, everything has been given away. Nothing is left of the lamb except one shoulder. You know, he used to like the shoulder piece of, you know, the shoulder piece of the... So, right away, I mean, normally you would say, oh, I'm glad you saved that. That's my favorite part. He said, Ya Aisha, everything remains of the lamb except the shoulder. What does that mean? She's saying nothing is left except the shoulder because she had given it in charity. He's saying everything remains except the shoulder, which we will eat. Because everything that was given away in charity is permanently recorded, remains for you in your account in the Akhirah. That's what you have. The shoulder you eat and is gone, finished. Okay? So we have to think in those terms that what we have given is not something we've given away. That's what you have sent as last session's thing. That, what was the ayah? Send.
Sending it forward.
What is that ayah? وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ Whoever sends for themselves, تَجِدُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ will find it with Allah. Multiplied manifold, of course. So that's what remains. So when you give, don't think that we should change this, that as he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the one in whose hand is my life, that sadaqah never decreases or diminishes your wealth. It cannot. This is not the law of Allah. It increases it. And the real increase, you will see where, we just talked about, where it can be compensated by Allah. Because even that charity, Allah can return you the money here, but that's not enough what He wants to give you. So, give and give and give. As the Bedouin came back to his whole tribe and he said, O tribe, all of you become Muslim. Because I come from a man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gives as if he has no fear of poverty. How can you have fear of poverty when you are giving for Allah? It's all there. You're depositing. So we have to change those attitudes from what we are taught through secular education of counting and collecting and growing. This is what you have. No, this is not what I have. This is what my inheritors will have. Because I'm not using it. What is yours is what you have consumed and what you have sent for the hereafter. What you leave in the bank accounts is for your inheritors.
I think Brother Rehan would like to say something.
No, just go. Yeah. I just wanted to say, in regards to what Brother Majid mentioned about giving and yet not getting the gratitude in return or not being appreciated in return. It just reminded me of an incident from the life of Abu Bakr. He used to support a particular person from within his own family or tribe. And this person later on turned on, he was one of the people who took part in the slander of Aisha.
Oh,
so, if I recall correctly, Abu Bakr to the oath that he will never support that person again, because now that this person is, you know, I'm giving him, I'm supporting him, and yet he's accusing my own daughter.
Would you not, that Allah forgive you for things? So then he restarted, reinstated, in fact, increased what he used to give to this nephew or cousin of his by the name of Mistah, who